I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and so happy to welcome back to our studios Mr. Charlie Parr. Welcome, Charlie.
Christine, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are your glasses there?
Oh, my God. I got stuff on these things. That I haven't had new glasses in so long, and I had the lenses keep falling out, so I crazy glued the lenses in. So now even if I don't want to get new glasses because I like these frames, but of course I crazy glued the lenses in, so now that I can't see, I'm stuck with them.
Well, maybe there's something that will dissolve that crazy glue. I don't know. Probably dissolve the frames too.
I don't have a clue.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Charlie. And Charlie's here because he has a show coming up tomorrow night at Clyde Iron in Duluth. It's at 9:30, and it is in honor of the re-release of his album King Earl, which came out in 2004, and it's now coming out on vinyl on Duluth's Chaperone Records. So how did that come about, Charlie?
I was at the Electric Fetus one day, and Brian Ring came up, and he said, can we release King Earl on vinyl? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And then they did. And they're great. I'm really happy that there's a label in town here that's doing stuff on vinyl. It's one of the things that I'd like to have put everything out on vinyl because it's my favorite way to listen to music. But it's expensive when you have youngsters and stuff. And so I was really happy when they asked me to do it.
Great, yeah, because that's how you listen to music. So. And I know you've released some of your more recent stuff has come out also on vinyl, but King Earl never did.
No, we're kind of going back. I mean, the very first record I ever recorded was Shaky Ray back in 2001. We remastered and re-released on vinyl. That was called Criminals and Sinners. And then everything new, I've been kind of specifically lining myself up to put it out on records. And the new one that comes out in the coming year will be out on vinyl. And it's nice to be able to go back and revisit some of these old ones once in a while. And this one especially, because I think out of the ones I've done, this one's the one that's not really too bad. So.
And why do you say that? Why? What is it about?
Because I think it's better than the other bad ones.
Oh, Charlie. So what do you want to start with? And tell me about the song
I'm going to start with a song called 1917. Because that happens to be the weird tuning my guitar happens to be in.
Okay.
But it's a song that I wrote. I spent a little time with Alan Sparhawk out in Butte, Montana. And he was working on music for a film out there. And I had done a little bit too. And I wrote this song after thinking about Frank Little, who was a union organizer with the IWW, went out and organized the copper miners out there. And was brutally murdered by the Pinkertons, the Anaconda Copper Company's security force. I was thinking about that. 1917 was the year that there was a horrible, horrible mine fire out there. The speculator mine burned and killed over 300 miners, primarily due to the fact that the mine had neglected, the Anaconda Copper Mining Company had neglected to put in escape tunnels and ventilation shafts, and all these miners were burned to death. And I went out and I visited the memorial, and I visited Frank Little's grave, and thought about that. And I wrote this song, not so much about that, but just kind of thinking in that direction. It's hard for me to write songs specifically about an event, but it's everything is inspired, I think, by something. So I was inspired by that event. My Savior call my name. Don't you hear my Savior call my name. Don't you hear my Savior call my name. Call so soft, but it's called so plain.
Can't you see the devil at my door? Can't you see the devil at my door? Can't you see the devil at my door? Knocking like he ain't never been here before. Begin to blow. Can't you feel the wind begin to blow? Can't you feel the wind begin to blow? Blowing like it ain't never gonna blow no more. Footsteps in the mine. Can't you hear the footsteps in the mine? Can't you hear the footsteps in the mine? I've been hearing them since I got my time. Don't you think that we are out of luck? Don't you think that we are out of luck? Oh, don't you think that we are out of luck? Put down your pick, brother, that's deep enough.
Charlie Parr, live from Studio A, 1917, a cut that appeared originally on King Earl. And we're revisiting that album from 2004 because he's really releasing that on vinyl. And so back when you did King Earl, a lot has changed in your career since then, hasn't it? Like, what were things like back then compared to what they're like now?
Had you?
I don't think you'd gone to England yet, or I could be wrong though.
I had.
Okay, well I'm wrong.
I had already two tours.
Okay.
Over in England.
Okay.
Criminals and Sinners was released in England, and then the company over there passed on 1922, but they really liked King Earl. So after King Earl came out, I started going over there a lot more regularly.
So King Earl was your third album.
Yeah.
I forgot that 1922 came in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I started going over there a lot more regularly after that. I mean, you know, I think the thing is that you know, my trajectory has been you know, organic, you know, what do you call it? Not steep.
Mm-hmm. Slow and steady.
Yeah. And it's been nice. It's been comfortable, you know. And these little bumps, you know, and King Earl was one of those little bumps that I felt like I did something that wasn't too terrible. And we had a little bump, and I had a little bit more and a little bit more. And so I've taken a little bit of effort, as much as I do have effort in my life, to not, you know, let things kind of get beyond where I feel comfortable, you know. So it, you know, things aren't remarkably different. They're just, you know, different enough that I'm busy. You know, I'm keeping at it, and that makes me happy.
So do you turn down a lot of things that you get asked to do because they just don't kind of fit in your plan?
Well, I don't get asked to do much. Yeah, I would.
I find that hard to believe,
I would,
Charlie.
If someone asked me something, I'd probably turn it down.
Well, and tell me about making King Earl. Where did you make that one, and who did you make that with?
Well, we did it. My friend Carolyn was in a band called Fatty Pants, mm-hmm. and they were great. And they had a rehearsal space downtown, right downtown somewhere. It was accessible in this little alleyway and this little door that looked short. You had to, felt like you had to bend to go through it, but they let us use that for a night. And Jake Larson had a little quarter-inch tape machine and some microphones. And my friend Mikkel drove up from the cities to play washboard, and Christian, you know, McShane from If Thousands, he was living in town, and he'd come over with the theremin and some stuff, and we just sat down. We played like it was a show. It was the most kind of enlightening way of recording that I've ever had in my life, because, you know, it suddenly occurred to me that I can do a recording, because I hate recording, you know. It's so horrible for me. And I realized at that point, I learned I can make a record like I'm playing a show, and if I felt like it was a good show, it would probably be a good record, you know. And we just sat down and played. And there's only one song on the record that we had to do three times. And everything else is pretty much first takes, and there's no overdubbing on it. It's all just live to tape. And when it was done, I think 3 hours had elapsed. And, you know, Mikkel made it home for bed, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm. Those guys are going to be playing with you tomorrow,
Mikkel's,
right?
Mikkel's coming up from the cities. Christian now is an organic chicken farmer in Brainerd, so he's going to come over from Brainerd. And Dave is coming in with me to play the harmonica, which he wasn't on the record, but he's been on three records since then. So yeah, it'll be kind of the way it's supposed to be.
Great. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to play next from King Earl?
I want to tune this one string is what I would like to do.
I think you should do that then.
And it only has to go up that far. Oh, see, now it's all wrong. This wasn't what you were expecting, was it?
It's just fine. It's Charlie Parr. He is playing the re-release show for his album King Earl on vinyl tomorrow night at Clyde Iron in Duluth. Starts at 9:30. A couple of opening acts, which I should probably figure out here. So 9:30 is when the show starts.
Lion or Gazelle.
Thank you, yes.
And Southwire.
Southwire, yeah. That's right. Other Chaperone Records artists.
They're great. So yeah. It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah.
I think I got that thing straightened out.
All right.
All right. I got to unroll myself from this wicked world. Well, them boys down in the alleyway, they ain't up to any good. They've been out there since morning drinking that rotten gut booze. They got to unroll themselves. They got to unroll themselves. Got to unroll themselves here from this wicked world. Well, I said, why don't y'all come in now? Let them all sit down, and they ain't never left my room. Now, landlord kicking me out. I got to unroll myself.
bus shelter until about 2. That's when the old transit police come in too. They said, you got to unroll yourself. You got to unroll yourself. You got to unroll yourself here from this wicked world. Catch up on a little bit of news. The librarian come around. She said, you know what you'd better do. You'd better unload yourself. You'd better unload yourself. You better unroll yourself here from this wicked world. Salvation Army is gonna put me up in here. Now when I got to the door, they said, there's no room here for you, my friend. You better unroll yourself. You better unroll yourself. You better unroll yourself from this wicked world. Can't go down to buy them boxcars to steal my money and my shoes. Can't sit down at a coffee shop. They told me I smell like booze. I got to unroll myself. I got to unroll myself. Got to unroll myself from this wicked world. Check, but I'm gonna have to hang around. I got to unroll myself. I got to unroll myself. I got to unroll myself from this wicked world.
Charlie Parr live from Studio A, another one from his 2004 album King Earl that is being re-released on vinyl this weekend. Tell me about that one and how it ended up on the record, Charlie.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where that one came from. I think it's another one of those songs that, you know, a lot of songs got written in my life when I was working. And I haven't been working in about 8 years now, but I was working for a few different agencies that helped homeless folks. And that job, you know, affected every facet of my life. I did it for a long time, and I loved it. And when the bottom falls out of all this, I'm going to go back to doing it again, you know. And I keep in touch with a lot of people and, you know, have a lot of concerns about the issues. But, you know, I met some of the most amazing people that had a bunch of influence on me, and some of the most resilient and generous people that I've ever met in my life. And that was one of the songs that just kind of spilled out thinking about, you know, some of the phrases, the way that, you know, that, folks talked, you know, when you go somewhere and people have a different kind of slang and accents and stuff. You pick up a little bit here and there, and I picked up a lot from those folks. And unroll yourself is one of those phrases. You know, means, you know, get your stuff and go.
Okay, cool. That was another one from King Earl. Now, Charlie, I want to say that you are one of my favorite people on Facebook.
Oh,
which is funny.
Nice. I hate Facebook.
I know.
So much.
I think it's hilarious that a lo-fi guy like you occasionally pops up and posts something really, really entertaining.
I post once a week without
fail. Is it once a week?
I guess I didn't realize that. But you know, it's not my fault. This all happened because I have a friend of mine in Australia. She's real, real kind, and she said, "You need to pay attention to this social media." You know. And I said, no, I don't. you need to stop telling me what to do. And then she went ahead and did it anyway. And she posted on it as if she were me. She said stuff like,
oh boy.
Hey, you know, and I was in Australia at the time touring. And she'd post, hey, I'm on my way to blah, blah. And I said, wait a second. I'm not on my way to anywhere. You're not me. Well, if you want to say something, you should say it. And so I started, you know, trying to. And so I don't have a computer. My wife has a computer. So when I can sit down and not be frustrated with it, because I do get, I get frustrated with it. I sit down and I type out, you know, kind of some shows that are coming up. I try to do it once a week because I got shows on the weekend and I'm trying to be fair and, you know, fit in, you know, I'm trying to fit in and people expect you to, you know, promote things that they've organized. And I want to appreciate the fact that a lot of people are doing a lot of work behind this so that I can sit around, play guitar and do nothing all day long. And I want to, you know, be good. And, you know what I mean? Cause it's not just me. It's just, you know, like any other job, you know, you have this kind of batch of people standing behind you that do stuff, promoters and sound engineers and bar owners and fans and just a lot of people, you know? And so when someone says, you know, the least you could do is say something on Facebook about the show I'm trying to promote for you, you know, you want to try to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also give us some great glimpses into the glamorous life of Charlie Parr, which mostly involves doing chores for your mom and your wife, Emily, it seems like, or not doing chores or trying to get out of doing chores.
The thing is, you know, one day, school started now, you know, and my kids are both in school. Mm-hmm. This is kindergarten for Lula. So, you know, get up in the morning, put the kids on the bus. Emily is getting ready to go to school. She teaches. She gets to the door and she stops and she turns around, looks at me, goes, hey, what is it that you do all day? And I'm, what? You know, I got a lot to do. You know, I'm very busy. I'm a working musician. You know, we have a lot to do. Shakes her head. You know, and all of a sudden there's a list. And then there's a lot to do, you know, because then the days of me, like, bumming around the neighborhood with the dog waving at the neighbors and, you know, that was just, now I've got a lot to do. But, and we're trying to keep my mom in her house and trying to make sure that she's okay. And, you know, it's good. It's all family stuff. And when I'm home, you know, I'm home. I'm really home. And I'm trying to do, you know, the music thing and trying to keep up. Songs only come when the songs want to come. So when they're not there, you might as well go ahead and, you know, paint the bookshelf or clean the basement, you know, because they're not going to, you can't force yourself to do art, you know. So it's been good. You know, when the new record comes out the first of the year, I'll be on the road again quite a bit, and I won't be able to do this, you know, for my family. So it'll be different then.
Okay, and about a month ago, you posted something about a French film crew following you around. Tell me what that was about.
Filmed everything I did. Walk the dog, whoop, there they were. Pick up the dog, you know, poop, whoop, there they were. Washing the dish, you know, there they were. Took them to the brew house. There they were. They loved the brew house.
Oh, good.
They were there every night. Evidently, it's a French kind of public television, and it's a documentary film that'll be. It's called Meeting Charlie Parr. It's got a website and everything.
Wow!
Have
you played much in France?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I met him. I met him at the show in Paris, and they're real super, super nice guys. I just love them to death. And they were real happy, and they're thinking about making the documentary will be only like an hour long, but they're thinking about making it into more of a feature length. I said to him, I said, you know, you picked the most boring person on the face of the world to do this with. How can you possibly make a feature length film out of me, you know, stumbling down a sidewalk in Duluth with my dog? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, yeah, this is going to be great, Charlie, you see. And so,
well, you know, the French aren't like us, Charlie. So maybe they, you know, the whole Jerry Lewis thing.
By my very boring life.
Well, we have, let's hear one more from King Earl. And what do you want to do and tell me a little bit
maybe
about
I'll play
this
a,
one?
It is in tune. Maybe I'll play Union Tramp. Another one from kind of that job I had. I met a fella who rode on a train inside of the cab of a combine on top of a implement trailer all the way out west, and he was telling me all about what a great time he had sitting at this real bird's eye view in a real comfy, shock absorbed seat in a combine, you know, where everybody in the world could see him. He's like in this little glass case up there, but this song is for him.
I'm going home back to the west where I belong. Whistled, I'm going home back to the west where I belong. Yeah, I out that prayed like it was the youngster. He said, I'm going home back to the west where I belong. I thought of my family waiting my supper. Well, I thought of my children all alone. Well, and I grabbed that hand and I jumped right up there. I said, I'm going home back to the west where I belong.
Charlie Parr, live from Studio A, doing another one from King Earl that is being re-released this weekend. And you said you have another new album coming out, Charlie. What is it in? Have you started recording it yet? Or
it is. It's done. We did. It's kind of harkens back to the way we recorded King Earl. We recorded it in a Winona, Minnesota, arts center, Winona Arts Center, and. My friend Tom Herber has brought down a tape machine and some microphones, and Mikkel came down from the cities, and Dave and I came down from Duluth, so he played a harmonica on it, and we sat down there and we just recorded it. It was just like a show, and I'm pretty happy with it. It was done on tape. It's done specifically for vinyl. It's 10 songs, and it'll be ready to go. You know. Right about the first of the year, I think.
Okay. Do you know what it's going to be called yet?
Barn Swallow.
Barn Swallow. That's a pretty name.
Yeah.
And you kind of have dabbled with, you know, recording different ways, and actually we're in a studio. Was that the last one? But so it sounds like you're more comfortable just doing it that way, kind of. This is live. This is...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, When the Devil Goes Blind was recorded in a studio, and it was a great studio, and it was a really good experience. I had nothing bad to say about studios. It's got to do with me, you know, my the way I play and the way I, you know, present songs changes in different environments. And I don't know if that's the way it is with everybody. I know that Dave Ray talked about that at one point, you know, it was very kind of susceptible to his moods and his environment. His playing would change according to that. Mine is bad that way. I mean, you know, so I have to be careful about that because, you know, when you're performing, you know, you're moving air around, you know, not a big deal. You know, good or bad, when the performance is over, it's gone, you know. The air goes back to where it was, and it's gone. You know, you don't have to be tortured with it anymore. When you record something, it doesn't go away. You know, you've moved air kind of in a permanent fashion, and people can replay that all the time. And so if something you didn't feel really comfortable with, you know, or you didn't maybe do your best at, you know, it's still there to horrify you all the time. And when I'm in a studio, you know, the way I approach the music does change. And I think sometimes, okay, I'm playing a show and I want the record to sound like the show that I wanted people to hear, you know? The good one that I wanted them to be at, maybe then they weren't.
Yeah.
So that's why I've just decided to go ahead and do it this way. And, you know, not that I'm unhappy with any of these recordings I've done. I am happy with them. But, you know, there have been at least three attempts or four even of a couple of different records done in studios that were horrible. And you could tell how uncomfortable I was, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I could tell anyway. And I just, you know, destroyed them right away because I was like, well, that's not fair.
Well, and that's a good thing to recognize about yourself and, you know what works best for you.
I have a lot of limitations that I have been recognizing about myself.
Well, as long as you learn how to work around them, I think you're just fine, right, Charlie. Nobody's complaining.
Well, you're awful good to me.
Hey, you mentioned Dave Ray, which reminds me, on Sunday I read that you're playing with Spider John Kerner, right?
Yeah, I love Spider John. I love Dave. Actually, the new record on Barn Swallow, we're dedicating the opening track to Dave and the closing track to John. And yeah, on Sunday down at Palmer's, I get to play a show on the same bill as Spider John. And he's still the top of my, you know, musical heroes list. I think he's just amazing. And I feel awfully lucky to have been able to get to know him a little bit, you know, and play a few shows with him now and again.
I was going to ask you, when you kind of idolize somebody a little bit like that, do you ever feel like a peer, or is it always like, that's that guy?
I never do. Mm-hmm. I feel like a fan, you know, that somehow ended up in this really unlikely position of like being on the bill. I don't feel like a peer, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning how to play the guitar, and when I sit down and watch John play, I'm still, you know, like, trying to figure out what's going on with my guitar playing.
Well, that's pretty cool. All right, well, let's hear one. You said you would finish up with one from the new CD.
I will.
What's the song?
I guess this is Motorcycle Blues. Now I won't be like
going commando. Leave it out on the highway, gonna take another run on back. On a stretch of blacktop, for the gravel takes back the ground.
Charlie Parr, live from Studio A, and Motorcycle Blues, you said?
Yeah.
From his forthcoming new album, hopefully in January, Barn Swallow. Right?
That's right.
All right. And again, Charlie has a re-release show for his album King Earl coming out on vinyl on Duluth Chaperone Records. Tomorrow night, Clyde Iron in Duluth starts at 9:30, opening acts, Southwire and Lion or Gazelle. Did I get everything there?
I think that's it. That seems like it's free. Is that something?
I did not know that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Charlie. It's always so much fun to have you.
Thank you for having me, Christine. I always appreciate coming by here.
Well, we'll have you back again for the new album.
Sounds great.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Nicole Thomas and Cameron Flackney, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist, Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WDSE, WRPT. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.